Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, earlier this month, we mourned the death of much-loved broadcaster and charity campaigner Charlie Bird, who had motor neurone disease. And there's news this morning of a test that spots the signs of motor neurone disease before the symptoms appear. So what might it mean for current and future patients with the condition? Well, I'm joined on the line now by Dr. Jenna Gregory, who's principal investigator for this study, which was led by the University of Aberdeen. Dr. Gregory, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome, and it's good to have you with us. Can you explain to us first what causes motor neurone disease?
Absolutely. So, you know, every single patient has a completely different combination of symptoms, a very unique experience of the disease. But actually, despite this variation, people all experience the same underlying disease process, and that is the clumping of toxic proteins that accumulate in nerves in the brain and in the back in the spinal cord, and they stop the nerves from being able to function properly. And that's why people experience problems with thinking and moving.
So that is the cause, and you have discovered what in this study?
Well, exactly. What we need to do for this disease really is we're really desperate for biomarkers. And what I mean by biomarkers is a way that we can spot the disease in either tissue or in fluid samples like blood, things like that. And we're really desperate for these biomarkers, and that's exactly what we've done in this study. So we've adapted something called an RNA aptamer, which is a really small molecule that is typically used in cancer and Alzheimer's disease, and we've adapted it so that we can pick up the really early stages of the disease process in tissue in motor neurone disease.
So it's possible, you believe, to pick up this disease before the patient will experience any symptoms?
Absolutely, and that's exactly what we've shown. So using these new tools that give us better insights and more accuracy, we can actually spot that the disease process starts before people start experiencing symptoms. And we really believe that this is the perfect window really to intervene, because before people have got a substantial symptom burden and before people have experienced substantial disability, we've got a better chance of treating it. And actually, that's really what all the clinical trials that are failing at the moment show, that if we can intervene earlier, we can really make a better difference.
Mm-hmm. Because we were having a discussion about this morning amongst ourselves here on the programme, and somebody said, oh, why would you want to know? Explain to us why you would want to know in advance.
Exactly. So, you know, why you would want to know is because there are signs of the disease, and if we can find therapies that can prevent that disease from taking hold and really causing those symptoms, then we've got the best chance of curing it or even treating it. So we want to intervene earlier. Clinical trials are showing that that's the only way really we're going to be successful. But, you know, the other thing is that with these biomarkers, you know, we can really use them to see if therapies are working as well. We need an accurate way of seeing, you know, in this particular person who's got a very unique experience with the disease, have they responded to a drug therapy? And these tools are really necessary for us to be able to do that.
So that,
and, you know, if we look forward to how these tools are being implemented in cancer and Alzheimer's disease, that's exactly what they're doing, not just using it in tissue, but also using it for blood tests and to make brain scans more accurate as well.
So these things, the RNA aptamer molecules that you mentioned, they're already in use, are they?
Exactly, for other diseases. So in cancer, actually, and in Alzheimer's disease, they're not even just being used for diagnosis, they're also being used as therapies as well. So, you know, we really need one for motor neurone disease, and that's really what we've been working really hard with our international collaborative team to be able to deliver that. And this work really shows that it's allowing us to pick up signs of the disease really early on.
So is it your expectation then, Jenna, or your hope, that this might be rolled out as a screening program for MND?
Absolutely. And, you know, these sorts of clinical trials are happening currently in Alzheimer's disease, where we're trying to pick people up really early on, so maybe even 10 years before they develop symptoms, and deliver those clinical trials. And we really need that for motor neurone disease as well, especially as you were mentioning with Charlie Bird. And, you know, we know so many people, this isn't a rare disease. 1 in 300 lifetime risk, it's common, you know, and we need to do more for people.
Mm-hmm. And it's an unusual disease in that the progression varies an awful lot, doesn't it, in each individual?
Yeah, it's really, really striking. And everybody has such different symptoms. And really, even in the past 12 months, we've really started to see publications showing that symptoms aren't just even involving movement. They actually maybe involve our gut, maybe involve skin symptoms, all sorts of things. So everybody has a completely different presentation and a different experience of this. And you know that, you know, it's tricky for diagnosis, but actually if we can pick it up early, why not start thinking about this as screening? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're a way off that currently, but that's exactly what our lab are working towards.
That is the ultimate aim. And we know, of course, sadly, that MND is a condition that cannot be cured. Do you hope that this discovery is a step towards that goal?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, there's you know, many battles to win a war, and this is a really important battle for all of us as researchers, clinicians and people affected by the disease, yeah.
In the initial stages, though, it'll be screening, and that even that is down the line. But then perhaps we'll be looking at some sort of management, better management of a patient's condition as it progresses.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing that really strikes me is, for example, we're very familiar with motor symptoms and movement symptoms. But, you know, we forget that people might be experiencing altered bowel habit and that might be really upsetting for people. And, you know, these tools will allow us to be able to detect the disease in other organ systems that might mean that we get better at managing a broad array of symptoms, not just focusing all the time on these sort of late stage signs. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally agree.
And a really important part of this, as you mentioned earlier on, it'll be giving people the ability to figure out, clinicians the ability to figure out whether certain therapies are working, certain medications are working, and whether they're making a difference.
Absolutely. Do you know, in the drug development industry, in the pharmaceutical industry, we call this target engagement. And, you know, it's whether, is this therapy really working? Is it doing what we think it's doing? Especially if we're talking about more toxic therapies, you know, that's why these molecules have been used in cancer, because often these therapies are quite toxic. We need to know that they're definitely doing what they're supposed to be doing. And, you know, there's a therapy that's just become licensed now called tofersen, and it's for a very specific genetic cause of motor neuron disease. And it's been licensed in the US and in Europe. And it's actually been licensed on its ability to improve the biomarker. So really showing that it's improving the health of neurons rather than actually addressing symptoms. And this is really quite groundbreaking. So we need more biomarkers. And, you know, this is just that.
Mm-hmm. So there is a genetic element then to motor neuron disease, or at least to some cases of it.
Absolutely. Around about 10% is familial, we call it, which is underlying genetic cause. Yeah, the majority are not genetic.
And you get to see those causes on a population basis, do you?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, as a pathologist, that's really, you know, I'm clinical work as a pathologist, and I diagnose tissue. Mm-hmm. From some people. Yeah.
So you get to see what ultimately caused motor neuron disease in the beginning. But your research in this area, Jenna, how long have you been looking at motor neuron disease?
So I'm a kind of academic clinician, so I really started working on this right at the beginning of my medical career as a medical student 15, 16 years ago. So really for a long time. And, you know, it's really important for us and our research group and our collaborators to be able to bring these tools to translational research in this way.
Mm-hmm. What is your ultimate ambition, your ultimate goal?
Do you know, I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't really, you know, want to cure this disease. And then that really is our ultimate goal. It's what we're working towards. And really any, you know, any battle in the path to fight this war, we're happy to contribute to, you know.
Well, Jenna, it's been great to talk to you. Thank you very much for taking the time. That's Dr. Jenna Gregory, who is principal investigator for this study we've just been discussing around motor neuron disease, and it was led by the University of Aberdeen. We'll be back after this quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.